Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord you're able to be with me as we continue on in a teaching, a rather extended teaching, on the subject of perfection. This is a command that was given in the Old Testament as well as in the New. We looked at one verse of Scripture recorded in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 48, where Jesus said, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." And so it's a very broad subject. We have looked at some Old Testament examples of those who perfection was attributed to. One that first comes to mind, of course, is David. His heart was perfect with the Lord, and so, although certainly he failed rather seriously in terms of being a murderer and adulterer, and yet God loved him, and he loved God with all of his heart. And some of the most beautiful poetic verses of worship and love of God is recorded by David in the book of Psalms. And so this was a man who loved God. He was a man after God's own heart, and after in terms of seeking and pursuing God's own heart. There's many nuances of meaning in that. But today, we're going to start looking at some rather exciting things. And this, I've shared so much scripture, but it is to validate the things that I'm saying, because it's, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And it, my opinion doesn't matter, the opinion of any other Bible scholar or teacher or prophet or evangelist bears no weight unless they are preaching the counsel of the Word of God, that which is contained in God's Word. And so what we're going to begin today to look at, and perhaps finish this week, we still have more to share. As I said, this isn't what I usually do, but we're taking a lot of time to be on this subject because it is so important. We're going to be looking at some essential elements of perfection. And there's seven, as I went over and perused and studied the scriptures, there's seven points, if you will, seven traits that we can seek to implement in our own personal lives that will allow us to fulfill this command or strive after, seek after this command that Jesus gave us. The Word of God not only shows us Jesus as our example, but it also gives us some specific guidelines in seeking to become like Jesus. And so, what are some of the essential elements of perfection? One is knowledge of the Word. And you know, you may have read some of these scriptures and are familiar with them. You may have read them many times, but it's amazing when you pull it together in terms of a concept of a state of being, which is perfection. It's amazing how they jump out at you in a new way. So the first element I'd like to share is knowledge of the Word. Knowledge of the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, is also a knowledge of Jesus, for He is the Word. Isn't that right? The Gospel of John begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word is God. That's Jesus. And He was manifested to show the heart of the Father to mankind. And so a knowledge of the Word of God is very important. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 17, Paul writes to his beloved son in the Lord, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." That's a good list. Well, what? Doctrine? Reproof? In other words, when you blow it, the Word will let you know when you blew it. For correction, there you go. For instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God, or the woman of God, there's no sex in Jesus, male or female, Jew or Greek, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I'm not going to take the time to turn, but I'm thinking of it is Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is wise, making wise the simple. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Well, enough. I'm just going by memory. But the law of the Lord is perfect. That's what it does to us. Okay. And then let's move on to benevolence. And of course, that is another way contemporary word to use is just being a giver. And that's the very nature of God. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, and maybe I'll take time to read that, starting at verse 16. Oh, someone came to Jesus and they said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" You see, he was interested in wanting to know the important answers in life. And he, Jesus, said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And he saith unto him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And the young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? What else do I need?" In other words, he must have felt there was something required or something not quite complete. And Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, he was not willing to do that. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Of course, his disciples were just amazed when they heard that. And they said, "Well, who then could be saved?" Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Now, let's just look at that. If you just take it superficially, the Lord is saying, well, he doesn't want anybody really rich. Obviously, you've got wealth. You need to just give it to the poor, distribute it to those that have need, and then you'll have your treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Was he saying that specifically? He was addressing that specifically to that young man. Obviously, as we look at wealth and riches, the Lord takes delight in the prosperity of his servants. Many of the patriarchs were extremely wealthy, like Abraham, for example. However, obviously, this young man, his wealth had him. He didn't have the wealth. You see the difference? It was an attitude of his heart. And Jesus said, "If you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not worthy of me. You're not fit for the kingdom." There is nothing in our heart ever, no relationship. You think that's bad? Jesus said, "If anyone loved father, mother, brother, wife, any relationship more than me, you're not worthy of me." Why? He was saying that the most important relationship, the personal, most important personal relationship we can have with anyone must be with the living God. And if we will honor that, if we will obey that, if we won't rebel against it, oh my goodness, I don't know the Christians I've known that when it comes to loved ones, for example, or children, oh, don't touch their children, you know, my goodness sakes, and they've unwittingly allowed cycles of sin and rebellion to continue because they would not place God first, put the children in God's hands, be loving, but be steadfast in terms of biblical principles, and to speak the truth in love. And that's a hard saying because many times we don't want to, how we feel, offend people. And obviously, you know, I mean, look at the prodigal son. He was offended. He just, you know, he didn't like living in his father's place. It took him getting out in the world and coming to his senses that he realized what he had lost. Fortunately, his father was there with open arms, willing to restore everything, because now he truly understood truth and he understood what was important. And so the important thing is that Jesus is not speaking against wealth. He's speaking against anything in our heart. This man, young man's heart was not perfect. And so, but obviously, benevolence, that's the parable I'm just sharing with you, we have to be willing to put God first and foremost in our lives. Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Jesus said, in another place, or the word says, you couldn't serve God and mammon. They are opposing spirits. And so benevolence, then, is that's a mark of perfection. And we give as we are enabled to give. We give as God speaks to our heart. Generosity, kindness, goodness, willing to give. And of course, this does not just refer to money. It refers to time, to energy, our attention, to care, to our abilities. It refers to all that we have, not just finances, not just material or natural goods, but the very people of who we are, our very being. We are willing to be benevolent and giving and share with others. Beloved, you have a ministry that no one else has. No one else can do it as well as you, beloved. And so let us look anew and afresh at what God is asking of us and understand that if we want to be perfect like Jesus, we must know the Word and we must be giving as He is, as we respond in obedience to the Holy Spirit. We're not to be unwise in our giving, in time, energies, finances, but to be led by the Spirit of God. Praise God. Well, as I bring this broadcast to a close, I'd like to share and encourage those of you who've listened and perhaps have needs or just being blessed by the broadcast. This is a brother writing from Lathrop, California. And he writes, I wanted to write back and say how blessed I was by your last letter. I could hear the Lord speaking directly to me and about me. I have so appreciated your prophetic letters because they've helped me to listen to the Holy Spirit in a way that others have not. You've helped me set on a path of waiting and listening to the Lord in about everything I do. In those things that I don't, I soon realize and seek His help. I want to tell you how close I feel to you without knowing you. We're certainly blessed to have a Lord and Savior who cares and knows each of us and finds fellowship with Him and each other. A brother writing from Lathrop. Praise God. Well, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you and pray for you every day, my UCM partners and radio family. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.